he had chosen songs that went well with our theme, and those are great. Appreciate the songs. Every one of them really does emphasize points that we want to emphasize throughout this year, including the last one, that we remember who we are, and of course we demonstrate that to the world. Tonight I am going to, as Wes said in the prayer, I am going to look at this song. I want to talk a little bit about the lyrics of it, and then we'll actually just, or about the theme, and then we'll actually go through the lyrics of the song. I know after asking this morning and Montel raised her long little hand, I thought several of you might know the song, but you can certainly look it up online. You can hear the Gaithers, who were the first to record it, make a big hit out of it. Again, like I said, about 1982, but you can listen to it. It's an interesting song. They are great lyrics, and so we're going to emphasize, I'm going to emphasize especially, things from within the song. The basic idea, and I'm not going to rehash everything I said this morning, but I want to emphasize a couple of the points and then some things that I did not say. But of course, our basic theme this year, the idea for our theme, is taken from Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Start by turning to that passage again and reading, if you will, Hebrews 11 and verse 7. I'll read this a couple of times tonight. By faith, it says, Noah, and of course faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. God spoke to Noah and commanded him. And by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen or not seen as yet, moved with fear, the Bible says, prepared an ark, or literally in the original, just simply built an ark, to the saving of his house, or his household, by the which he condemned the world, because he was willing to do that, of course, and others were not, by the which he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Now, there are different elements of that verse I'll emphasize throughout the year in sermons. I'm sure Wes will as well. There are different things that, particularly one quarter or the other, there will be points within that to look at, and in some respects, it will transcend all of those quarterly emphases, and it just will stand on its own that this is what we need to be doing. Had a lot of comments at the back of the building, more so, I think, than the last several years when I introduced the theme. Maybe not since Man in the Mirror, but people were really excited, so I hope people will get excited about the theme and not just, you know, our preaching of it, but certainly what we're trying to say and emphasize throughout the year, focus on throughout the year. But we'll keep the story of Noah in mind as we talk about what we might do to build an ark and help especially the next generation. The saving of his house, as verse 7 emphasizes. We'll keep that story in mind, although I won't preach on Noah and that story every week, not by any means. But from time to time we'll mention it, from time to time we'll look at it. And the fact that Noah had children, I've often thought about this, and maybe you have as well. Some of you especially that have struggled with bringing up children and bringing them up in a world. You're trying to influence, if not your own children, your nieces and nephews and perhaps your grandchildren, and you know, just, or neighborhood children for that matter. But I've often wondered what it must have been like for Noah and his wife, whoever, whatever her name was, to have these three sons and to know that absolutely no one around you was a godly person. To bring them up, and you know the classic statements made by children of everybody else is doing it, you know, and then your mom comes back, well, you know, if everybody's jumping off a cliff, would you do that too? Well, everybody was. And I wonder sometimes what it was like and what, you know, you'd like to just sit down with them for 15 minutes and say, man, what'd you do? No. I mean, I know that, you know, I've sat down with people who brought up good children, and when the world around them, you know, sometimes in big cities even, when the world around them was not very godly. Well, I thought about Noah and thought a lot about the fact that he had children born into that world with all its problems and what he had to face. What those children had to face. And then eventually, you know, who knows where their wives exactly came from and all of that kind of thing. We don't. But certainly, bringing their wives in and bringing them into that culture and teaching them, as we would say, the truth, you know. And not that they obeyed the gospel. It wasn't yet being preached in that sense. But they did obey the truth. They did listen to what Noah was saying or his sons were saying now that they had grown up. And they followed that. And they were saved because, as the scripture is indicating right here, they became heirs of righteousness, which is by faith. They had the faith to follow suit. I've often wondered about those people. You know, we read the little bit we have of Noah. We emphasize the flood as we should. But those were real people living in a real time. It was not a very good time. But likewise, you listen to the comments that are made. And in some respects, this theme grows out of some comments that were made downstairs in my Sunday morning class and what some of the people were talking about and asking about. And so I got to thinking about that, and then I sort of was thinking about this song, and that's where the theme kind of came from. But the idea of the world and the society and the times and all of that we live in, and I think all of us in the last 2 years, and I hear comments, I started to say every day, I don't know that it's every day, but it's every week anyway, from someone talking about, you know, ever since the election and, you know, Trump started running and against Hillary and all of that that we went through last year, not to rehash that. But as Wes has talked about, and Edward in one of his lessons talked about, they've emphasized the fact that he just kind of pushed some things to the forefront. Some things are being maybe emphasized in our society, are exposed, is maybe a better word. They are emphasized, but exposed. That were perhaps lying under the surface, but now there's a reason for a lot of that to come out. And it's not good stuff. It's things like hatred and prejudice and violence and on it goes. And if anything, what the last couple of years have shown us is that that is the trend of our society. And when we start talking about respect for people and respect for each other and respect for authority, as I mentioned this morning, and we start talking about all those kinds of things, then we realize how far we've come. Now, there are people sitting in this room that are old enough to remember a time you would have never said in public some of the things that are just commonplace today. You would have never treated people in ways that are just commonplace today. People don't mind in public, in front of a huge group of people. They don't mind cursing you. They don't mind calling you every name in the book. They don't mind treating you rudely. And, you know, sadly enough, they don't mind treating you violently or even killing you. That's just where we are. And you see all of that and you realize, you read those verses in Genesis that, as someone said to me in the back, you know, you kind of read over those verses and you read through some of those statements. But like the earth is corrupt or the earth was filled with violence. And you realize, you know, that's what was going on in their world, and sadly that's what's going on in ours. And I don't know that, you know, I don't know that we're at the end of time. I tell people sometimes, people say, Michael, don't you think the world's about to end? Well, gut feeling? No, I don't. There are reasons for that. I don't want to get off on that tangent tonight. But that's just a gut feeling. It could, you know. But regardless, it's going to. And even if it doesn't, 100 years from now, more than likely, unless there's some huge developments in science, not even the babies that are here are going to be here in 100 years. But the point of all of it is that we have a certain amount of time limited. And we have to live our life in faith like Noah did. And we have to be moved with fear like Noah was. And we have to listen to the commandments of God and obey Him, doing exactly what He said, like Noah did. If we do all of that, we'll be an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So generally our focus this year is going to be both personal, and I'll try to keep that separate to an extent, but personal in the sense of what can I do for Michael? I mean, Noah built an ark that saved Noah. Let's be honest about it. And Noah built an ark that saved others. So it's personal because I want to build an ark. Now, like we said this morning, not a giant wooden chip. And I'm not even as the author of this song who said his idea. And I really paid attention to what his idea was. You know, like just sort of like the Amish. You know, gather everybody up, go off to an island somewhere, and just leave it all behind. I'd like to do that sometimes. I don't know about you, but I would like to. And yet, the idea really is, what can I do, to use a modern term, to cocoon myself so that I'm safe from all of this flood around me? So that I'm safe from the destruction that the world would sweep me away in. And I think that's the idea. But it's also interpersonal. Because we don't want to just look at what can I do to save me. The Bible's not just about that. It's what can I do to save other people. I'm mindful of what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16 when he said, take heed or pay close attention to yourself and to those into the doctrine. And if you do that, if you pay attention to yourself and to the doctrine that you claim to live by, in doing that, continuing in that, you can both save yourself and those who hear you. So we want to emphasize that. We want to talk about that. What can I do? How can I help? How can I help myself? How can I help others? What's the best use of my time and my talents so that I can accomplish that and, if you will, build an ark? I want to look at a few verses, and then I want to really bear down on this song for a minute. But let me mention briefly the breakdown this year. I didn't do that this morning, and some of you may have taken notice, although nobody came to the back and asked me about it. But I usually, on the first lesson, I'll put the breakdown in the quarters. But I wanted to save that for tonight. Because here are the four areas we're going to emphasize. And let's be honest, those that come back on a Sunday night, I mean, you guys are the ones that are really, you know, you usually are the ones, the basic ones who are doing a lot of work and all of that kind of thing. And so, in some respects, as we really get into it, I mean, this is aimed at people who want to roll their sleeves up and go to work. Just like building an ark, you know, it's great to stand around and watch it and admire it and appreciate it, but it's a big ship that needs to be built. And so it's kind of like the idea of roll your sleeves up and grab a hammer. So I asked people kind of jokingly this morning when they, you know, and they would say something like, well, I'm really excited about the theme or whatever. And so I'd say, have you got your hammer? You know, you got your saw, you got your hammer, because that's what it's all about. So we're going to talk in the first quarter about building an ark with discipline. I didn't mention that verse this morning. I'm not going to look at it again in Hebrews 12 and verse 11. It's in a context of chastening, of discipline. Parents to children, God to us. But we're going to look at the idea of discipline. In the second quarter and the third quarter, we're going to look at some practical things. And this was really Wes's idea to kind of couch the middle part of the year, make it really practical, and to couch that by the first and the fourth quarter, which is more, you might say, you know, academic. So in the second and third quarter, we're going to make it really practical. How do you build an ark at home? What can you do? And what can all of us do to, you know, support that, to help in that? Because each individual is going to be responsible for the saving of their house, just like Noah was. But it sure helps when you have some support and help from other people. And so what can we do in that? So we'll try to make that, you know, very practical. Second, in the third quarter, like as with the home, we're going to look at building an ark of church and how we as a group of people can come together and be supportive of one another in building that ark. That safety net, if you will. That place to be safe from the destruction of the world. Then I want to come back in the fourth quarter and kind of wrap up with kind of going beyond all the practical. And the first three quarters will be far more than the fourth quarter. Because in the fourth quarter, I'm going to talk about some of the things that are causing the flood, if you will. Some of the wisdom, or sophistry, really, false wisdom, that's causing all of this destruction. What people are, as we would say, buying into. What are they believing? What are they soaking up? What's being said? What do you see? And maybe in very subtle ways. When we're watching TV, we take notice sometimes, and I'm sure a lot of you do as well. A statement will be made. For example, I love watching Jeopardy. I've told you guys that before. I said this morning that, oddly enough, you know, a couple of days ago, there was that question. But there was also a question this past week in which, just presented as a fact, just straight out as a fact, that scientists tell us that X amount of time, and I mean it was the smallest fragment of a second that we can even imagine, that following this event, gravity was formed or created. Now think about that statement for a moment. And the answer was, or the question on Jeopardy, what is the Big Bang? But it was just presented as a fact. Evolution is a fact. And everybody, quote, unquote, believes that. Even if you claim to believe in God, you realize most people that are surveyed who believe in God and say they believe in the Bible believe some parts of evolution. It's not a theory anymore. I mean, it is, and it's a bad one. But to people, it's fact. And calculated down to the smallest fragment of a second after the Big Bang is when gravity came into being. That's fact. And so we were talking about that and how that's just accepted. Well, that's some of the kind of thing in the fourth quarter. I'm not going to get way off into quantum physics or evolution or all of that. But it's the wisdom. It's the way of thinking. It's the flood of humanism and the flood of hedonism. And we'll talk about those things, but talk about them from the standpoint not so much of trying to break it down and be an authority, because I'm not on any of that. But what it's done to the thinking of people and what that in turn means when a person is thinking about Noah and building an ark. And so I want us to take a look at that. So building an ark with discipline at home, at church, or in the church, and with wisdom. So we'll look at that this year. Let's look at this song. If you've got an outline, you'll notice you'll be able to, on the back of your outline, there is the lyrics to this song. And let me make one little correction. If you will look down past, it'll say, build an ark. It'll have that chorus. It'll say, I'm tired of all the villains. Build an ark. My father and my mother. If you see that stanza there, when I was doing my copying and pasting, I got carried away. So if you look at that second line, my father, my mother, my sisters, and my brothers, notice when it says, of all the villains, please just take your pen and strike through those four words, and I think the lyrics will be exactly right. So again, my father, my mother, my sisters, and my brothers, it should read, all of the friends that I care about, instead of a repeat of all the villains. So we'll get to that in just a second. I want to emphasize a couple of things, though, in the Bible before I really go through all these lyrics line by line. And one is this. We said it this morning. I've said it again tonight, so I don't want to beat it to death. But again, this verse, notice especially in verse 7 when it says, he prepared an ark unto the saving of his house. I believe there's a basic philosophy in Scripture from the time Adam and Eve sinned, right till this point in time, right now, where God is saying, if you will do what I command you to do, no matter what you think about it, no matter if it makes sense to you up front, and I don't know if you think about this or not, and I don't even know that this was true, but I wonder sometimes, if the Bible emphasizes the fact that the ground was watered by dew, and along comes God. I mean, even creationists who are scientists will tell us that it didn't rain before the flood. And if God came and said to a Noah, it's going to rain. Well, what is rain? Well, it's water's going to come down out of the sky. And it's going to cover the whole earth. And you need to build this gigantic ship and save yourself and all the animals. Does that make sense? I don't know that it did. And I don't know that it always makes sense to people when we tell people what God says. But what God's saying in the Bible is this. If you'll do what I say, you may come to understand it. Some things you will not come to understand. God just does not choose to tell us. But what he does say is, I'm God, and if you will just listen to me and do what I say, you'll save yourself and you'll save other people. And it's really that simple. So build an ark. Okay. And that's what Noah said. Okay. I'll build it. How long do you want it? Just this long? Just this wide? Just this high? I want a door right here and a window right here. That's all I want. Okay. I want you to make it out of gopher wood. Okay. I want you to pitch it within and without. All right. Noah did everything God said just exactly as God commanded. If you be that kind of person, you're going to be all right. And so is everyone else who's willing to do that. And again, it may not make all the sense in the world. And then God told him, I want you to go out and tell everybody else. And the Bible says he did. He was a preacher of righteousness. And seven listened. And I really think that if every Christian would spend their whole life preaching to other people and doing everything God says do, if every Christian could get seven people to listen, that'd be a lot. It really would be a lot. Well, that's what Noah did. So he was a preacher of righteousness. And this song also talks about the idea of when the storm is ended. I emphasize that a little bit this morning. When the storm is ended, you'll know the world's been mended. And it's interesting. Because Scripture emphasizes, remember the passage we read? You can turn back to Genesis 8 and look at verse 21 again if you want to. But I find it interesting that God, when Noah landed on dry land and he took, you remember there were seven clean animals that were gathered in the ark. Why was that odd animal there? Because Noah was going to sacrifice one of every clean animal when he landed on the land. The first thing he did was to build an ark, an altar, and sacrifice those animals. And God smelled that sweet savor, you know, that sacrifice coming up to him. And then remember how we emphasized this morning, God thought in his heart, you know, just thinking in his mind, never going to destroy the world like this again. Yeah, the storm was ended, and the world, corrupt and filled with violence, was mended. It was taken care of. Because there was no more violence and no more corruption at that moment. There was only Noah and those seven people. And so all of that was over, and yet God looked at it, and God's first thought about it was, I'll never destroy it like this again. And I'm going to paraphrase and interpolate here, because I think what God is saying there is, because it doesn't make any difference. As man begins to fill up the earth again, he's going to fill it with corruption. He's going to fill it with violence, and it'll just be back to where it started in the first place. And so maybe another 1,656 years passed, and another billion people were on the face of the earth. Maybe. I don't know. But maybe. And it was filled again with violence and corruption. And so God is basically saying, I'm not going to ever do that again. But what I am going to do is I am going to plan a day and hour for the destruction of mankind. And that's what Jesus said. No one knows that day and hour. No one. Not even the angels in heaven. Not even Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But the Father only, he said. But the Father established a day and hour. And you know what Scripture says? We read it this morning in 2 Peter 3. The world is never going to be destroyed by a flood again, but it is going to be reserved. God is reserving judgment until that day and hour. That's what this theme is about. Because we don't know. We don't know when it's coming. We do know our life will end and our time of preparation will be over. But the point of it is, the judgment is coming. Just like it was with Noah. When Noah was out there preaching, no doubt, Noah was saying, you know that big ship I'm building? It's because it's all going to end. And you need to be ready. And they weren't ready. So that's what we're saying again. When the storm is ended, the world will be mended. You know, this song goes on to say, and I want you to turn to the lyrics with me, and let's just kind of run through them for a minute. Build an ark. Head for the open water. Save your sons and your daughters. Build an ark. Build an ark. When the storm is ended, you'll know the world has been mended. Build an ark. Notice the verse that comes next. I'm tired of all the villains. What is a villain? You know, we think of a villain, we probably think of a movie. You got the hero and you got the villain. He's the opposite of the hero. But you know what a villain really is, and originally the term, he's just a bad guy. He's just somebody that's evil. And you know, when you look around in the world and you get to thinking about, you know, the world could be a lot better place. We say things like that. It could be a lot better place if just so wasn't in the world.
You know, if there wasn't this creep halfway around the world who wants to kill us and blow us up, if there wasn't this, if there wasn't that, I'm tired of the building. I don't know about you, but it'd be nice to turn on the television one day and just have good, ordinary problems discussed. You know? Just the everyday things we all have to face, not all of this huge mess. I'm tired of all the villains, the song says. And I'm tired of all the killings. I mean, how many times do you have to turn on and hear that this one's died, or that one's died, or this war caused these deaths, or that? I mean, it's every day. And it's in our country. These people rioted and so many died. These people got caught up in this and so many were killed. There's so many killed in Chicago this year. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I'm tired of all the killings, the song says. I'm tired of the men who make the laws and break them anytime they please. And I know we all are. The hypocrisy that exists in the people who ought to be the standard for following the law. It gets old. I remember we hit one time there. And this was in the 80s when I had first started preaching. It seems like the first 10 years of my preaching, and this is an exaggeration. Take it as it really is. But it seemed like every time I turned around and someone said, "Hey, Michael, did you hear?" I got to the point where I said, "No, probably not, and I really don't want to." Because every time you turned around, it seemed like, "Hey, Michael, did you hear so-and-so left the faith?" Almost everybody I went to school with left the faith. They're out in denominations, they're atheists, whatever. "Michael, did you hear?" It maybe was some preacher had taken up with some woman, the member of the church. Or maybe it was an elder that did that. "Did you hear?" "No, but I don't want to hear it. I'm sick of hearing it. I'm tired of the men who make the law." We don't make the laws. Preachers and elders don't make the laws. And I think the song was probably talking about government officials and so forth. But I'll just take the whole sweeping group of anybody and everybody who stands up and said, "This is the law." And if this is the law, then follow it. The people that ought to be following it are the people that do it and teach it and claim that they know it is the law. I'm sick and tired of hearing about the rule of law from people who don't follow the rule. You know, I'm tired of the men that make the laws and break them anytime they please. I'm tired of all the big lies. Now, you know, lies are lies. But we all understand that. I mean, they're big, huge lies where people stand and with the straightest face just tell you this huge lie that's going to cost you, is the point. I'm tired of the big lies. And then he asks the question, where are all the good guys? You know what Scripture says about good guys? Good guys are people like Noah in Genesis 7 and verse 1. "You, Noah, and you the only one, have I seen righteous in your generations." Or we might go to Psalm 37 and we might see the fact that the good man, and the Scripture doesn't use the phrase "good man." Go home and look that up. It doesn't use that phrase very often. But it's a good man who is inclined to God's law, who looks to God's law and says, "That's the law, that's what I'm doing." That's a good man. It's a good man like Job. When Scripture talks about Job, it introduces him as a good man, an upright man. He eschewed evil. He followed God's commandments, and then God took everything away from him. Or he allowed Satan to. And then it comes right back in chapter 2, and you know what it says? The exact same thing. Except it adds, "And he retained his integrity." That's the kind of person I'm looking for. Not the guy when it's, you know, it's, and I used to say this often, and maybe I don't say it enough. It's easy to be a Christian when you're standing up here in the pulpit and preaching, and you're going to walk to the back of the building, and everybody's going to come through with a pat on the back or shake your hand, tell you what a great guy and a great job you did. That's easy. That's not the point of retaining your integrity, is it? Retaining your integrity is you really believe this stuff. And when the chips are down and you know everything is going against you, you still believe it. And you still have faith in God. I think that's what this song is talking about. Where are all
the good guys. Where are the guys that are supposed to be like that? And I don't think it means just men. I think it means men and women. Where are those people? Sometimes I think I feel the way that Noah did when the Lord commanded, build an ark. I sometimes wonder about that. I'm going to tell you what I think about this. I don't know what was in the head of the guy that wrote the song. But I can imagine the day that God came to Noah. Now here you are, and you're living in a world, perhaps, you know, and there are debates about this, but it doesn't matter. The point is the same. Maybe you are not yet married, and you're about to marry and have those three sons. Or maybe it is that you just married and just had those three sons, and you got a brand new family. And I think about God coming to Noah and saying, Noah, the end of all flesh has come to me. I'm going to destroy the whole world. You reckon how you would think? What you would feel? And I'm going to do it because the earth is corrupt. And it's violent. And I imagine Noah felt two ways about that. One, wow, what about my home? What about my family? You know, Noah had a grandfather that died the year the flood came. Scripture doesn't tell you if Grandpa Methuselah was faithful or unfaithful. He just died the same year. But I wonder if he thought when God first told him that, what about my family? What about my friends? What about the people who live down the road? I wonder if he looked at all of that and then he got to thinking about how bad things were. And you know, as a Christian, you can't help but feel this. A good person can't help but feel it. Man, this is bad. But man, it'd be better if I didn't have to live in this. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how you think when you're at home and somebody starts talking about a nuclear war or a great disease. We've been dodging bullets on diseases for way past our time. Oh, they talk about this or they talk about that or they talk about how, you know, this whole nation could fall apart. It's just so fragile. It could fall apart due to all of this. I don't know if you think about that would be bad. I don't want to see the nation fall apart. I don't want to see a nuclear war. I don't want to see disease kill or wipe out 40% of the human population. But do you ever, honestly, and you don't have to admit this, do you ever in your heart start wondering, but I wonder if it turns some people back to God? And maybe it would be, even if we had this struggle and the world were a better place with nicer people, at least for a while, people trying to do what they're supposed to do, would it be better? Now, you don't have to answer that. But I'll admit to you, that's the way I think. I wonder. And I think that's the way this guy was thinking. Build an ark. Head for the open waters. Remember when we read his quote this morning? Sometimes I think I'd just like to load everybody up and take them off to an island somewhere and leave this mess behind. Build an ark. Save your sons and your daughters. He goes in the second verse, and if you're looking at it on the sheet, my father and my mother, my sisters and my brothers, all of the friends that I care about, and the woman that I've learned to love, I'll gather them together and promise them forever. Build an ark. That verse, when I look at that, I think about my own mom and dad, my grandmother, my family, my sisters, and my brothers. I have two sisters and two brothers. And right now, they're in a world of hurt. When I think about them, and I think about the friends that I care about, some of whom are Christians, yes, and some of whom are not. I've got friends that I've had for a long, long time, even dating back, you know, to childhood, and they're not Christians. And the woman that I learned to love, and for those of you that are young especially, not yet married or you're just married, there's a whole different world between, you know, that look you have, that feeling you have when you marry somebody, and then what you feel 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years worth of this world later. But you learn to love. Love like God teaches. And that's that close companion to you, that you learn to love. And the song says, I just want to gather them together, you know, in an ark.
figuratively speaking, but I want to gather them together. And I want to promise them, not the world, because you can't. I mean, we can work as hard as we can work, and we can build up a future financially for them, and we all know, and all of us would admit, it can be swept away in 5 minutes' time. We know that. And we can, you know, do all kinds of things to promise the people we love and give things to people we love, and the world can take it away in minutes and moments' time. But you can promise them forever. You can promise them eternity, because once they have that, no one can take that away. And so if you build an ark and you give eternity, if you promise forever and deliver on it to someone, they can't lose that. So I want to promise them forever. We will be saved from the world around us. And all we have to do is love each other. When that song first came out, the only line in the song I didn't like was that. Because it takes more, I used to say, than loving each other. And then I think about what Jesus said. You know, every good thing you do in obedience to God is loving God. And all the law and the prophets hangs on that and loving your neighbor as yourself. So any good thing I do is loving the people I care about. So all we have to do really is love each other. But that means love like God teaches. Love. Build an ark. You got to head for the open water. Save your sons and your daughters. Build an ark. Build an ark when the storm is ended. You know the world has been mended. Build an ark. Enjoyed that solo, but go home. If you want to learn the song, go home and look it up on YouTube, and you'll hear the Gaithers, who first recorded it. You can hear them singing it, because we certainly looked it up and saw that. I think James did this afternoon. It's a great song, though, and it's one you might find yourself enjoying singing to yourself as you prepare to build an ark. Are you here tonight, and you're not a child of God? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and He has the answers for the world today? Are you willing tonight to begin to build that ark? And it's going to start with you willing to go to work. With you willing to trust in the Lord, to confess that He's the Son of God, to be willing to change your life and live your life for Him and be baptized for forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you're here tonight and you look at your life and you say, I'm a Christian. I've been baptized. But I just don't feel like I'm really doing what this song is saying. I don't know that I'm building an ark for myself. I don't know that I'm saving myself. And I'm certainly not doing a lot of good for other people. But I want to be like this. I want to do what Noah did. I want to help the people I care about. And if tonight you'll make that commitment, we'd be glad to pray together with you. Won't you please come?